Oh, I've seen it. It's like you take a solar panel and then hook it up to like a little motor and it's a little kind of color on. If you have a engine door, in a real power the motor, you know, no programming,
yeah.
No crazy electronics and stuff.
How long to get in the cabin?
I don't have a problem with it. It does.
Well, I thought it was called the
way. Yeah, it's just a problem to do.
Chad? Chad, can I borrow you for a second?
order of the... We'll start the meeting for the Yolo County Transportation District meeting of July 12, 2021 at 7 p.m. I was going to ask if the board or whomever would like to take roll call to go ahead and take roll.
I don't mind taking roll, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
City of Davis?
I'm here.
City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of Winters?
Here.
City of Woodland?
Tom, you're muted. There you are.
And County of Yolo?
Here.
All right.
UC Davis.
Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you. Great to see everybody tonight. Tonight's meeting is held telephonically via the Zoom webinar pursuant to the governor's executive orders issued March 17, 2020. We'll have public comment after each substantive item. To participate during the meeting, you can use the raise your hand feature, and we will look for you. If by computer it's in the reaction section or separately, sorry, on here it's under raise your hand. If by phone, I believe you press *9. And we're going to use a two-minute clock. Is there anything that I missed, Acting Director Perez?
So, Madam Chair, we did have a slight change in the order of the agenda. I believe we did not have a closed session, and so I believe we should at this time consider approval of the agenda.
Okay, great. Are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
Jose just mentioned there's no closed session tonight. Isn't there one at the end of the meeting?
I apologize. I meant to, it was unclear. There was no 5 p.m. closed session. There still remains a closed session scheduled for at the end of the regular agenda.
Thank you.
With that clarity, are there any changes to tonight's agenda? Seeing none, I would ask for a motion.
Moved by Frerich.
Saylor seconds.
So moved by Frerich, seconded by Don Saylor. May I have a roll call vote?
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
And City of Woodland?
Aye.
And County of Yolo?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. The next item is public comment. Do we have any... Public comment is for items from the public that are not on the agenda and within the purview of YCTD. Please note we are prohibited from discussing items that aren't on the agenda. Do we have public comment for tonight's meeting?
We do have, Madam Chair, one request at this time from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
All right. The chair recognizes Mr. Hirsch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to address the board. I had two suggestions for the operation of the board based on some experiences happened in the last week. You have received an $85 million grant for one of the most important projects in the region. You are as a lead agency for the I-80 widening. And I suggest in context with that, you need to address the issue that basically all the public members of the public should have equal access to the board to make suggestions and present things. That means just as staff and consultants can present things on the screen and present slides, so members of the public should also be able to present slides and present them on the screen too. I think that is only fair and equitable. In your judicial role, you cannot have some people have some have access and others have other. The other thing is basically you release your staff minutes, your agendas on Friday night, and for a Monday night meeting. And why that might meet the bare minimum of Brown Act requirements, it means that for 2 days, 2.5 days, there is no access to staff pretty much, or for the public to get information to clarify and understand what things it means. As an activist, I say if something I don't understand and I'm upset about, I have an tendency to basically raise the alarm and get activists to call in and push back on staff because I have little time. But if it was released on Thursday or Wednesday night, I would tend to inquire with staff, get the facts straight, and basically modify my response. I suggest you should move the agenda to be released on Wednesday night, which gives people time, especially with this $85 million project, because there's enough time to resolve things with staff offline without having to go public and make an issue of it. With this project is so important, the I-80 widening, that I think these are critical changes in your process to engage the public more thoroughly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. I appreciate your comments. Moving to the consent calendar, if there are no other public comments.
No additional requests at this time, Madam Chair.
All right. Item number 7, the consent calendar. Do any directors wish to remove a consent item or for further discussion or any questions from the board on the items?
I'd like to ask if I will move the recommended action.
Moved by Ledesma.
Second by Ferrix.
Seconded by Ferrix. Roll call vote, please.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
And County of Yolo?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 8. Now we begin our regular calendar discussion items. We'll begin with item number 8, board reports. Do the directors have reports or comments they would like to make?
Yes. This is Alex Padilla from Caltrans.
Hi, Alex, and welcome. Very good to see you tonight.
I'm happy to be here, and I just wanted to introduce myself real quick since this is only my second meeting, and if that's okay.
Please.
My name's Alex Padilla, and I'm the new South Office Branch Chief here in District 3, covering transportation planning, and I'll be your guys' new ex-official here on the board, and I'm really interested to participate and learn more about YCTD and all the great things you guys do here. And then there's just one other item I was just going to mention. There's some public outreach that we're doing this week. As part of the I-5 CMCP, we're going to be doing some virtual open houses starting tomorrow. The CMCP is partly in Yolo County. It starts just north of Woodland, and it goes all the way south to the Sacramento-San Joaquin boundaries. And the CMCP is the Comprehensive Management Corridor Plan. And this planning effort is a comprehensive effort that District 3 is undertaking to plan for the future for future needs. So this is a really great opportunity for the board and for the public to provide their input. And as part of this virtual open house, we're going to be doing teleconferencing where each person who calls in is able to include their comments on a one-on-one basis with Caltrans District 3 staff. So we're really looking forward to this, and we've sent out some emails. We've sent out to YCTD is one of the board members on the I-5 CMCP. So we've been doing some news blasts here at District 3. I'll definitely forward some information to Jose and the team so they can forward it to you guys, but we're looking forward to hearing your guys' and the public's comments on our planning efforts. So thank you.
You're welcome, and welcome. The chair recognizes Mr. Sollard.
It would be helpful, Alex, if you gave your contact information to staff to share with the rest of our board. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to take an opportunity tonight to just say that I have a comment on the calendar, the consent calendar. The items in the consent calendar, such as the submittal and execution of the FTA grant application by Kristen Mazur, the extension of the microtransit into Woodland, the website redesign, assistance for Unitrans, and so forth, are all part of the important steps that staff has made collaborating with the board and the region on the agency's direction as a multimodal agency. And I just wanted to give my great thanks to the staff for getting so much done in such a short amount of time. The YCTD staff is awesome. And I wanted to thank a few people. One of the persons I'd like to thank is Marty Tuttle for being the managerial guy that stepped in and really helped us solidify our agency as a multimodal agency, and he was very helpful. Secondly, I really want to thank Jose Perez. Jose did much of the background work with staff on, I don't know if I can, I'll try the acronym, the CMCP, the Comprehensive Multimodal Corridor Plan. He really worked hard with the support, the evolution, and the submittal of the I-80 corridor award. or document. And I am so grateful to the hard work of everyone, of Caltrans, of UC Davis, of all the staff and all the board members. So I just want to say thank you. Very much. The chair recognizes Supervisor Saylor.
Thanks, Jesse. And I just second all your comments that you've just made. I think they're right on target. I realize the yellow hand is raised in the yellow portion of the Causeway Connect, so I may have to change that photo if I ever want to speak again in tonight. but I do I want to second your comments. I think Jose has done a tremendous job of bringing so many things to fruition in this past few weeks. And Marty Tuttle has been a tremendous addition to the team with his insights and his leadership and connection throughout the transit world. I want to add to the comments on the I-80 YOLO Causeway project. That project was submitted for an infra grant by YCTD on behalf of our Caltrans Region 3. So it's a unique partnership from the get-go. This was the third time I think it was submitted for infra funding, and this time it worked. And there's no accident there. A couple things have happened. Of course, there was a change in the administration, which I think brought a different lens to roadway needs. But in addition to that, we had some direct conversations on behalf of Caltrans in our region with the Department of Transportation about where the earlier applications had fallen short, and Caltrans and the YCTD then addressed those issues, addressed the current context, and we proposed $125 million. Caltrans was not able to get all of those funds, but did get the $86 million, and that is, I think, Jose, that's about two-thirds of all the funds that came into California this year through this grant. So that's a pretty incredible achievement for an agency of our size and for the Sacramento region that has been underfunded in these applications the last 8 years or last 5 years or so. This also, because we had asked, and by the way, this is one of the largest grants ever given under the infra, through the infra program, but it falls short of our total need. And so those of us who will continue to work with funding allocations through SACOG and through STIP and through SB1 will need to continue to work on funding that gap. But at this point, the leverage is that we have $85 million. We want to make sure that it counts. And so that's a pretty good argument for deploying state and regional fund availability. I'm truly excited about it, and it is a tremendous need in our region. It will improve the greenhouse gas emissions. It will improve traffic congestion and the daily experience of so many people throughout our region who live here and commute, for those who come through the area to go to the Bay Area or up to Reno for any travel and cargo hauling into the capital of the nation's largest state. And so this is a tremendous achievement. Congratulations to all concerned.
Yay. The last thing I'll add is tonight's my last meeting as chair. And I'm virtually passing the baton over to Don Saylor tonight. So it's been my great pleasure. And thank you for allowing me to serve this year's chair. All right. Moving on to item number 9. We will have a public hearing to consider adoption of the YOLO Go Phase 1 service changes, and I believe it will be presented by Kristen Mazur and Acting Director Jose Perez.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And just very quickly, I sincerely appreciate the thoughts and the support that this board and staff has provided me in my professional growth and development. It's absolutely been a learning experience, and I couldn't have asked for a better board. So I appreciate the support. Just wanted to say that very briefly. Thank you, as always, for the opportunity to present on to the board on these important topics. I'm introducing this item. I am going to turn it over to Kristen, who's been very earnestly, very passionately, and very tenaciously working on this implementation plan successfully so far, and I want to make sure that she has ample time to do so. But you're correct, Madam Chair, we are requesting the board open a public hearing on this first phase of YOLOGO implementation service changes being proposed to begin effective September 5th of 2021. We have received some public comments already, which have been forwarded to your board for your consideration. And we will be happy to take those public comments should there be any and address any questions from the board or to provide any clarity on the proposed actions herein. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kristen to go very briefly over the proposed phase one implementation service changes and elaborate a little bit about what we are proposing at this time and so that we can then, again, if the board desires, open and close the public hearing.
Right. Thanks, Jose. So at your last board meeting, you approved a phased implementation of the YOLOGO plan where rather than doing everything all at once, we would take chunks of it and do a rollout over a period of approximately 6 months. So the first phase of the changes that we're making is to increase the Route 42 frequency because that's sort of our flagship and one of the most exciting recommendations that came out of YOLOGO. To, of course, increase the frequency of the 42 from 60-minute headways to 30-minute headways during peak hours 7 days a week. The other changes that are coming in phase one are not things that will actually affect service on the street at this moment because of COVID, they've sort of already been rolled out. But it will be making things that happened because of COVID, making those changes permanent, including the reductions on the Route 230, that service was reduced during COVID, and it will now permanently remain at the existing service levels with 2 a.m. trips and 2 p.m. trips. And then we are also going to be permanently discontinuing some of the routes that were identified as underperforming during the YOLOGO study. If you want to scroll down so everybody can see the little table, these are the routes that we had identified as maybe not as productive and identified as potential places where we could take away resources on those routes and then reallocate those resources to the increased frequency on Route 42. Most of these, as you can see, are express or commuter routes. Most were operating only on weekdays. A couple of them we've already replaced with microtransit. So like the Knights Landing fixed route and the Winters fixed route, those have already been replaced with microtransit. So it's just making that change sort of permanent. So we put all of this phase one changes. We noticed it in the newspaper. We put it up on our social media accounts, sent out an email blast, posted it on our website just to get the word out and to solicit feedback from the public. People were able to call with their feedback, send it in an email, or some people may be attending tonight to give input during the public hearing. I can just really quickly, do you want to just really quickly, Jose, scroll down to the map so people can see? Again, with increasing the Route 42 frequency during the peaks, we're also making some other changes, streamlining it to try to make it a little bit of a faster trip for people traveling between cities. So this is what the 42 is going to look out like in downtown Sacramento now, where you can see we turn back at 9th instead of going all the way up to 15th Street because we would often get caught in downtown traffic or special events down there. And then you can scroll down to the Davis map. That shows.
And just one other quick note, I would like to also clarify that for the majority of the routes, we are at this time, you know, going to be getting off of Capitol Mall in downtown Sacramento, which again is kind of a street that is frequently impacted with detours and events. And the city kind of wants it that way. They like to have that as often as they need to as a pedestrian mall kind of access. And so this change, this rerouting in downtown for the 42 also has us entering on J, going down 9th and then out L Street, to reduce our time, our route's time on Capitol Mall and to minimize the impacts of some of those detours.
So this map shows the streamlining that we are proposing to do in Davis. This map should be somewhat familiar to you from YOLOGO, but this just gets into the very specifics of where the stops were and where they are now going to be located. So instead of traveling up F to Covell and then back down to get on the freeway, we're just proposing to go straight across 5th Street. We're proposing to serve all of the same bus stops on 5th Street that are served by Unitrans so that we can simultaneously help each other, where if they have crush loads, which they do on that segment of some of their routes, we could help pick up some of that extra demand and students who are unable to get on Unitrans buses. I should note that we're in the process of working with Unitrans right now on a transfer agreement that would make it much simpler for people to transfer and essentially free to transfer between our services. So if you have one pass, if you have a Unitrans pass, you can ride our bus, and if you have our pass, you can ride the Unitrans bus, is basically what we're arranging for, so that we can help each other with demand on that corridor. And we're proposing to also cut out the South Davis loop down by Mace Boulevard to streamline and make the trip faster and more reliable. So I don't think you need to see the schedules or anything, but I just wanted to highlight those route changes that we're proposing. We did summarize, I think it's appendix or attachment D, where you can see the detailed comments that we did receive. Of course, some riders are, you know, disappointed about their stops being removed. We will follow up with any riders who had questions about what their alternative options are, or help them explain how to make their trip with the new service changes. And then we also had, since we sent out, posted this packet, we did get a lot of great feedback from some of the Davis riding community, the YOLO Mobility members. They gave a lot of great advice on how the schedule might be finessed a little bit to be even better. So we'll be taking those comments into consideration in the next week. So with that, if you guys have any other additional comments or questions, or we can also open it up to the public comment or the public hearing.
Do the directors have any clarifying questions before we open up to, yes, I see, recognize Don Saylor.
So I have questions about the stops in Davis on F Street in particular. A number of public comments have come in on that stop, on that route, and I'm curious what the rationale. I think I'm confident that what you've done is look at the ridership and the numbers of boardings and alightings at each of these stops and made a determination based on that. But I'm curious about why what your thinking is. It's easy enough to see that it's a straighter route to go out Fifth, but how many riders are we disadvantaging on that northern segment by doing so?
And so it's a fantastic question, and I could, you know, meet with you, Don, and talk for an hour about the rationale and the logistics and data behind it. But really what it boils down to is one of the key priorities for all of the YOLOGO recommendations was to improve the mobility of our customers and increase ridership and improve metrics. And so this recommendation is kind of a combination of all of those goals and priorities for YOLOGO. Looking at what we know of our historic ridership in that on those corridors, Unitrans's data about the ridership along that corridor, the plans for the community of Davis and the university coming in the fall, which is when we're aiming to launch these YOLOGO changes, at least with the 42. We do feel that while we are going to be impacting our pre-COVID customers, the modified route path and changes, the co-locating with Unitrans services, and the kind of streamlining of the route is going to ultimately result in a more accurate schedule and increased ridership for YOLOBUS. And that doesn't come, you know, without its costs, and that cost is impacting existing customers. One of the things that I'd like to stress is that this is based on anticipated data and anticipated demand, but we are going to be continually and closely monitoring all of the route changes that we implement through YOLOGO and regularly report that to the board and work with our partners, Unitrans, University, the City of Davis, to make sure that the implemented changes are actually resulting in net benefits or improvements to the communities and to our district. So I have confidence that this proposed plan will result in improvements in our desired goals and helping us achieve our goals. But if the reality ends up being that it doesn't meet or it doesn't help us attain those goals at a reasonable pace or as effectively as we anticipated, we will always have the ability to modify and to make adjustments either to the schedule, to some of the stops alignments, possibly even the route alignments. Although, again, it's one of those we want to make sure that we're doing it in a conscientious manner and not upheaving people's commutes and travel paths recklessly or too quickly without giving it a fair shake. That's always been the intent. And that was kind of some of the initial priorities for why we were proposing this, why this alternative was selected in lieu of some of the others that were proposed initially during the YOLOGO process. And again, I want to stress that while we are asking for a public hearing and input at this time, this is ultimately the culmination of a couple of years worth of public outreach and opportunities, discussions with stakeholders in our member jurisdictions. And we really feel that this is going to result in a significant improvement and help us achieve our district goals.
Well, Jose, I'm sorry. Just looking at this and hearing the comment about the co-locating routes with Unitrans, in some ways that means that, well, I think Unitrans has bus routes in other parts of the community too. And I'm wondering if the trade-off between co-locating versus serving larger areas of the community, are there trade-offs there? And if, what's the advantage of co-locating, if we're missing a whole section of the community?
Well, I would just add that might have been, I probably should have emphasized that those areas still are served by Unitrans routes, just not. Yeah. I think the rationale for co-locating is that this is a great corridor for transit ridership. Like, it's all higher density housing, so it's kind of like the equivalent of us putting multiple routes on Market Street in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I think the boarding activity was light. Jose corrects me if that's wrong on that Covella loop, and it's more residential. So it's just putting transit, like STACOG keeps telling us to do, put fixed route transit where fixed route transit works well. I think that's what we're trying to achieve here, where maybe before it was a lot of coverage at the expense of. But of course, I never want to lose any riders. So I plan on reaching out to everyone who complains to help them do travel planning to find their Unitrans route that can connect them. Or in the case of the homeless shelter comment, I was very concerned about that, but it is only a 10-minute walk to the nearest 42 stop. So that made me comforted. I just wanted to note that.
Well, I was also compelled by the library, which is at the intersection of 14th and F, or actually a little bit further west. So I'm wondering about can community members ride the Unitrans buses in the same way they can ride?
Yes. Unitrans is a public mass transit service. It is still open to the public. They have specific agreements with the university for their undergrads, et cetera, but it is open to the public. They do accept cash fares and offer transfers, et cetera, as necessary. And that, as Kristen mentioned earlier, we are going to be refining and updating our own transfer agreement with Unitrans riders to make it even easier to transfer.
That mitigates it quite a bit. Then, so thanks. That's a major mitigation from my perspective. I appreciate your responses.
Thank you very much. The chair recognizes Mr. Ferricks.
Yeah, thanks very much. Appreciate it. I just wanted to sort of add into that discussion with the questions that Don had raised, and particularly with regard to sort of that trade-off between the former or the current route along F Street and Covell versus switching to sort of the east-west orientation along Fifth Street. And just one example, Don, is that, the example that Mr. Pride raised around Davis Community Meals and Housing and their 11th Street facility, and even the increase of new potential housing there at Paul's Place development that's being built, the trade-off is that along Fifth Street, they just opened a 90-unit apartment complex by the same, you know, the same provider, the same Davis Community Meals and Housing, and so that, you know, hadn't been served by 42A or B. So I think as an example, and I really appreciate, Kristen, your comments about, you know, sort of the A, putting transit where, you know, sort of transit works or should work, but also and sort of using the example of the sort of almost like Market Street, not quite obviously, you know, just but close, getting there, I guess, in terms of density. But no, all kidding aside, I mean, there's, you know, that east-west sort of alignment, I think, you know, has a real, I think it has a real opportunity to, because there's a lot more residential in that stretch of proposed new changes, as opposed to, I do think the F Street sort of area is a loss, honestly. There's certainly more people getting on and off there, but that whole stretch along Covell is, and then down through Alhambra is like almost, you know, nobody is getting on and off there comparatively. So I'm optimistic that this sort of new orientation east and west along Fifth, sort of maintaining that across the entire city, will be of major benefit on the long run. And we'll find out soon.
All right. If there aren't any more clarifying questions, I'd like to open up the public meeting. Do we have a commentary for the public meeting?
Yeah. Yes, Madam Chair. We do have requests. Mr. Alan Hirsch.
The chair recognizes Alan Hirsch, and you have 2 minutes.
Am I on? I can't see.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I didn't know. Thank you very much. This is from YOLO Mobility. YOLO Mobility greatly appreciates the work of YCTD staff and consultants who have done on the YOLO Go project. We've worked on it for months. We are pleased that staff have listened to riders and have prioritized the increase in frequency on the 42 inner city route, and that SACOG has provided funding to make this possible. That being said, we are disappointed to see the schedule improvements are not significant, and with schedules times similar to the existing schedule, frequency improvements limited to just the peak hours and headways of over 1 hour between buses in the middle of the day. We recognize that the new schedule is more reliable and added frequency and likely will attract new riders for certain types of trip. But overall, the ridership gain may not be as hoped for without additional service, these improvements. We also appreciate staff's willingness to respond to comments and suggestions for the modifications of the draft schedule and try to limit long midterm layoffs that particularly affect Davis residents coming from Sacramento to Davis for riders and long wait times between buses. And we want to appreciate that Jose and Kristen met with us at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the very last minute to talk about those modifications. And they were very open to our ideas, and we look forward to see how they can integrate some of them in. I know this is a very difficult balancing act. Bottom line, we urge the board to approve this plan as an interim step, but also to articulate a vision to a 30-minute all-day service and frequency and faster service between major destinations, particularly with the potential of the managed lanes on I-80. We see faster buses, quicker buses, and restore some of the additional stops that we've cut off right this time. Thank you very much for your hard work. On to the next step.
Thank you so much, Alan. I appreciate it. Are there other public comments?
We do, Madam Chair. We have one disappeared. There is a request for comment from Eric Vink.
The chair recognizes Mr. Eric Vink.
And Mr. Vink, you should be able to unmute now.
Great. I think I'm audible now. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Eric Vink. I'm a Davis resident. I'm a YOLO bus user. I'm a user of the 42. I've not been a big user in the last, since COVID, but was pretty regular before. Look, anytime you change your proposed routing, you're going to hear from people who are disadvantaged by that. You'll hear from people who are advantaged by it. The only thing that troubles me a little bit about this, and I have to admit I'm a little late to this party, I do get emails from the district, and I just completely missed the earlier efforts that occurred earlier in the year. What I noted looking through the staff report, and maybe I missed it, but when I looked at the survey work that had been completed, I don't see anywhere where you ask people about eliminating service in Davis or I see it in other communities, but I didn't see that in Davis. And I'm just wondering if you're getting a true representation of comment, you know, based on the way this was portrayed. Again, if I'm mistaken on this, please correct my misimpressions, but I see the surveys about eliminating express service to parts of the community, about increased service for the 42 line, but not about, you know, eliminating service to parts of the city of Davis. And I think you might have more commentary here at the meeting were that to be the case. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to comment. I don't know if there is an imperative to get this done within a certain amount of time. It feels like it's really soon coming out of the pandemic to be making such dramatic changes in your operations, given that we really don't know what the post-pandemic world looks like just yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vink. We're doing our best. I just want to add there's two things that you can be certain of. People don't like the status quo and people don't like change. So we're just doing our best. Are there any other public comments for, public hearing?
I do not see any additional requests at this time, Madam Chair. Oh, right. I apologize. There's one that the hand that keeps coming up and down. It's currently down. I apologize. I see a hand going up and down. I don't want to call on it unless it's a desire to make a comment, Madam Chair. I apologize. No, there's no more.
With that, we'll close the public hearing. And I believe Mr. Ferrix has a comment. The chair recognizes. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a question. I'd love to have staff's response to the questions posed by Mr. Vink in public comment. Thank you.
Yeah, and happy to address that. As I hinted at earlier, you know, Yolongo was a culmination of a couple of years worth of our time and efforts. And it's not downplaying the fact that some of these opportunities may have passed quite a while ago. We did have, in my experience and opinion, extensive outreach opportunities and discussions, not just with the members of the general public, but with stakeholders, members of our board and members of our member jurisdictions. Specifically the proposed alternatives for the Route 42. Yolongo, at the initial recommendation phase, did propose an expansion of frequency. It had a number of different options, expansion all day, every day, expansion, you know, weekdays, expansion only during peak times, as well as a couple of different routing options. The status quo, which is currently on the screen, is in red. The proposed alternative, which is what's being proposed at this time, which is going along Fifth, and another alternative that had a path that kind of cut off even more of the city and had it going down I-80 for a longer section of time, again, in the interest of streamlining the route and emphasizing the Route 42's intercity focus. And so the current proposed route path and alignment, including the streamlining in downtown, what was ultimately suggested or recommended based on those discussions and survey results with members of the public. I do recall having opportunities that we emphasized the South Davis community with respect to the Route 42's path and that community. We added additional signage, had additional opportunities where our staff would go out and look for folks and wait for them at the boarding times to solicit opportunities. And then we had, again, in my experience and opinion, pretty extensive outreach efforts through social media, through our websites, through electronic means, especially in the middle of the pandemic. I'm not going to claim that we were faultless or perfect in getting the word out to everybody, but I think in the environment that we had to operate, we did the best job that we could with the resources that we had available. And I don't want to claim that these changes are nails in coffins. We have been trying to emphasize the fact that our district is multimodal, that we are moving towards being a much more nimble and flexible, responsive agency without being flippant with the needs of the public. So we are going to be cognizant of the demands and the needs as they evolve, as they change, as we all kind of reacclimate after the pandemic, and God forbid any future kind of situation. But for what we aimed at as a district, our goals, our priorities, our vision, we feel that this is a strong opening salvo in meeting those goals. And we're going to work with our board and the public to make sure that we adapt and modify it and make it the best service that we possibly can. So as it was said by other folks in better ways than me, you know, we're not going to please everybody all of the time. But we are going to make sure that what we do put out there is the best service that it can possibly be, that we report back, and that we adapt and modify it as necessary to continue making it a valuable service.
Thank you so much. I wanted to say thank you to Mr. Vink for his question, and also for Director Frerichs for the follow-up question to our Acting Director, Jose Perez. The Chair recognizes Mr. Stollard.
Thank you. I think, Chris, you had your hand up first, but I will.
Did you, Chris? I wasn't sure. Chris? Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
No, go ahead, Tom. You're there.
All right. Well, I just want to say that, first of all, Eric's a good friend of many of us. We certainly respect and value what he has to say and his thoughts, and so thank you, too. I would respectfully say that this has been underway for a fairly long time. I came into this at about the seventh inning at the beginning of this year, and I had a lot of questions, too, and the more I studied it, the more I saw the logic of it. Basically, I would say, in response to your question about responding to COVID, this is what we're doing. We're responding to COVID. We don't want to wait until people give up on transit to have a strategy that perhaps has a broader appeal. The theory here is that we want to have more buses running, and our main service is the 42. And to rationalize it, to get more buses running, we've got to eliminate a lot of these loops and things that had so much slow down the ability of the bus to make the circuit. So it'll make more circuits if we rationalize the route, which I see on the display that's currently being exhibited. And then these other options, there's still ways to cover them with transit. I believe that's the case. So we don't want to leave anybody high and dry, but I really feel like this is proactive. And I think that we need to be honest with ourselves. Transit's been dying on the vine for years. Our numbers have been going down for quite some time. I mean, COVID really precipitated a huge decline, but it's been going down. So shame on us if we don't try to do something to be more acceptable to the traveling public and more useful to them. So the bus rapid transit concept, to me, is very sensible, and I commend my colleagues on having launched YOLO Go, and for everybody who's had anything to do with it, including all the people who've come out to the public meetings over the time. And we had probably 3 or 4 pages of comments just this afternoon coming in. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Couldn't have said it better. The Chair recognizes Director Ledesma.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to weigh in on a couple of points. And first is, and not to keep for the public that may be just showing up tonight and understanding that there's change in the bus routes. This is not something that I think I can speak for myself and some of the board members who I've been working with. We have not, and we do not take change lightly. In fact, we have taken this very seriously for the last few years, as my colleague, Mr. Stollard, brought up. We have been working on this for some time, even before the After YOLO Go study was underway. We have been moving to try to streamline routes, looking for ways to bring more frequency along the route. So while none of these affect West Sacramento, I know our time is coming, and we have that's something we have advocated for, and it's contemplated as part of YOLO Go. So, but this does create a situation for at least West Sac riders that the frequency along the 42. And what it could bring to some of the airport services is advantageous. So right in the direction we're headed. And the other part too is just to thank staff. I know staff has been working on this for some time, and it's been, I would not say or be apologetic about the fact that it's been not perfect. We couldn't expect any more effort during the pandemic and trying to get, feedback and outreach out via Zoom calls or via, through city staffs that you worked with, I know you worked with across the county and the district. So just want to thank everyone for their hard work on that. This has been a good step towards where we want to go, as everybody has articulated, and I 100% agree with my board colleagues the direction that YCTD needs to go in providing more options, but more frequency, but more mobility options throughout the district. I think I've been so proud to work with this board because all of us are in alignment towards wanting to go this way. We've listened to our residents and riders and those who would like to participate in transit. And I think our job is to try to find ways for all of them to go forward. And I just appreciate the effort that everyone's got along with it. So thank you to everyone. And unless there's any other questions, I'd like to go ahead and move the recommended action.
Second, Saylor.
All right. The item has been moved by Ledesma and seconded by Mr. Saylor. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Cindy Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
And City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
And County of Yolo?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, and I just want to say thank you for the public comment, the input, and all of the great comments by our directors and staff. Moving to item number 10, the director's report.
And Madam Chair, go ahead. Just one quick comment, which is, appreciate public comments and the engagement throughout this whole process and the work of our consultant team, Dan Boyle and Associates, but also just really a huge thanks to Kristen and Jose, but for other YCTD staff, all sort of the entire bunch of staff, but a special shout out to Kristen for shepherding this process successfully from start to finish. So really, and now we get moved to the sort of the next phase, but just really want to recognize her exemplary work. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I feel so strongly about so many of the comments tonight, especially that, these route changes they're not set in stone. We're just trying to do our best, and we're trying to make transportation relevant and adaptable to the needs of the public. We're doing our best to serve the public, and we're all in it together. We're all committed. So thank you. Moving to the item number 10, the director's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. Thank you all for your support. We hope to make you guys proud moving forward and implementing this. And I absolutely concur with Director Fredericks and thanking Kristen and the rest of the staff. My role in the implementation has been, tangential. They are really the star players in this, and so all appropriate kudos to them. So thank you, staff. For tonight's director's report, fairly straightforward. Very happy to announce, as all of you are currently aware, we were successfully awarded a significant amount of federal infra grant funding to improve the I-80 corridor. We are very anxious to work with our partner Caltrans and all of our member jurisdictions in the region to making that a reality, to making that quagmire at times all the better for everybody, to promote public transit, mass transit, rapid transit, whatever kind of shared ride services we can along that corridor so that we can get people moving, but not just people getting to work or to play, but also freight and all of the other issues that cause congestion along that corridor, working with rail, emphasizing our multimodal role in the region and really just calling to light all of the good work that we are doing together. So we're really looking forward to that. On a related note, our district has applied a number of times for planning funds to conduct a future fuel study. We did get word from Caltrans team that we were not awarded again. And so we're kind of at the point, this is an info piece for our board, to anticipate staff recommending kind of a plan B for getting that future fuel study completed and conducted so that we have an actionable plan in place for us to be able to, again, apply for actual construction and design and development dollars of a future fuel plan and study. With current California Air Resource Board mandates looming on us, we want to make sure that we have a clear path that's going to meet the needs of our districts to the best of our abilities, predicting what that need is going to be, but working with experts to determine our current capacities and our future needs and what current and future technologies may hold for our district. As an example, one of the things that we're considering or proposing for that future fuel plan would be what, if any, hydrogen zero emission fuel we would use for our vehicles, for our services, and what kind of special technologies or vehicles we would need for that, right-sizing battery electric vehicles so that we know already that our fleet is not going to be 100% big bus But what is the composition going to be? Are they going to be smaller battery electric sedans, minivans, 100% remain 100% ADA accessible? All of these elements need to be considered as part of a larger picture that we are aiming to get these planning dollars for. And again, in order to make sure that we have sufficient time to complete this study and to be in a good position for future opportunities, our board, your board can anticipate staff's recommendation for, again, a plan B in terms of conducting this study in the coming months. Update on the Causeway Connection service continues to grow steadily. We are continuing our monthly discussions with our partner, operating partner, Sacramento Regional Transit, regarding the Causeway Connection.
Jose, may I interrupt for a moment? I believe Director Stollard has a question on the item you just covered.
Oh, you're muted, Director Stollard. Apologies.
You're still muted.
That's a hassle, you know, when you change whatever computer you're using, they'll have different places for different things. In any event, Jose, I wanted to ask you about the emission fleet facilities plan and the fact that we keep failing to achieve these grants. Have you pursued a conversation with staff over at that agency, asked for a meeting or something like that? Because sometimes if you show up and pursue these things, you get a little insight as to what might help your grant be successful. We have this obligation. It's coming up real soon. I mean, where is the money going? Is it going just to all the big transit operators?
So we do request debriefs for every opportunity that we don't aren't successfully awarded, and we have conducted them in the past and refined our applications. And it's very similar to our infra application process. We, you know, this was the third time that we submitted that, and it was refined after every debrief. There are a number of different factors and how this project itself specifically scores against kind of the eligibility criteria, et cetera. Planning dollars typically are a little harder to get awarded for these types of things because they also have performance metrics and goals that they need to accomplish with these projects. And so a planning study may not look as beneficial to for the use of the dollars as some other projects. And so they might not rank as high. I'm just kind of giving generalities. But
just as a suggestion, it might be worth a conversation with Mr. Tuttle about this. You know, he headed the planning section at Caltrans for a period of time. I think his insights might be helpful because I hate to see us have to come up with 100% of the money for this.
Yeah, understood. And it's more, there are other opportunities and other funding sources for planning projects, which is what this would initially be. And so I was thinking with this specific opportunity, the timing may not be great because you first have to go through the whole process to get awarded the funds and then go out and get a partner to actually complete the study. And we didn't want to be, you know, I already feel kind of like anxiety about getting ahead of the game and making sure that we have a plan in place to meet those deadlines and future procurement requirements. So again, at the end of the day, I fully expect to just provide a more thorough kind of assessment, and items for the boards to consider in coming meetings.
Can I add a couple things, Jose? So I would just, cause I, read the call for projects and was intimately involved with this maybe a little bit more than Jose even was, that we could only qualify in for this project because it's so technical. It wasn't really meeting a lot of the other goals that that Caltrans wanted to meet. It's just a very technical study, like how do we convert our fleet to zero emissions so that we meet CARB's ICT regulation, their innovative clean transit regulation, where we have to be 100% zero emission by 2030, I believe, or 2035. So, you know, every agency in California has to do that. So it's not really an exciting planning project. It was kind of a long shot to even ask for it in this because, you know, they kind of want to fund more creative things or things that are, they can't fund everyone's zero emission fleet conversion plan. So asking to get ours funded was a bit of a long shot, although others have succeeded. There was only, I was trying to find the number. I think it was only about 2 million available statewide for technical projects, even though there was 21 million in planning funds. So this was a long shot. And the other reason it's becoming kind of urgent is because we have to, as part of that CARB innovative clean transit, what they call the ICT rule, we have to have our what we call zero emission bus rollout plan completed by July 20, Sorry, I could get the date, but we are kind of at the point right now where we're not going to make that deadline unless we start the planning for it within a few months. And it takes a lot of technical expertise. I was involved at SACRT on theirs, and, you know, they have an electrical engineer who understands, like, watts and energy flows and the sort of expertise that we don't have in-house. So I think that's kind of why we probably are going to be coming back asking for technical expertise, a consultant to help us.
Thank you for the clarification. That I will say no more at this time.
Okay.
Please continue, Jose.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. As I was stating, our Causa Connection service ridership is growing. We continue to meet regularly with SACRT. And the consideration for service enhancements, specifically the Causa Connection, the next realistic opportunity, given some of the requirements and operational logistics with our partner, will be in the spring of 22. Some of the initial considerations and planning for those potential service changes and enhancements would be happening in conversations beginning around August, September, throughout. So we'll be keeping your board apprised of those kind of considerations. And things what I'm mentioning or what I'm talking about really for the Causa Connection could be adjustments, significant adjustments in the schedule, possibly consideration for additional stops, especially as demand increases with the, you know, the return to employees and students and faculty in the area and the relaxation of some of the COVID requirements and increase in general demand that we're anticipating. It might at that point make sense to consider some of those types of expansion changes, service changes for the Causa Connection. Regarding the CCJPA Link 21 project, I gave a brief update on that last month as a brief update. On Thursday, July 15th, this coming Thursday is when there will be the Yolo, Placer, and Solano region workshop for the Link 21 project. And I apologize, Supervisor Saylor, I believe you're still on the agenda there to provide some introductory remarks, but I don't want to speak for you. This project is really, they're calling it, you know, a mega region project. To ensure that rail service is being met and enhanced. But it's beyond just the rail because it's also going to take into account some of the connections that folks make to get onto the rail service, and that includes public bus and mass transit. So we're going to be following this project very closely, supporting it and helping it be successful.
And Jose, yes, it is happening on July 15th. It's Sacramento, Placer, and Yolo, not Solano. So, and yes, I am still on the agenda to make some remarks there. Each of those jurisdictions will have a representative doing the same.
Thank you for clarifying. And then again, that meeting, that virtual meeting is scheduled to begin at 5:30 on the 15th, and there's a link in the agenda to learn more about that project. As a brief update to CAP-to-CAP, it's again, CAP-to-CAP, if you're not familiar, is a great delegation where traditionally, or historically, I should say, members of the Sacramento Metro Chamber visit Washington, D.C. and meet with federal representatives. It's meant really to help us secure funding and resources for high-priority projects in the region. Because of the pandemic, the event was canceled completely in 2020, and it was retooled to be primarily a virtual event with the federal delegates representatives for 2021 that's to be held in October. But there will also be opportunities for local networking and discussions. Chair Loren had been budgeted and it was planned for in to participate on behalf of the district for the 2021 year when that got retooled and canceled. We were actually had an opportunity to, within the past fiscal year, register Chair Loren for that. And so they did reduce the cost significantly for that, so it did not cause any kind of strain on the budget. But as of today, I myself as the acting executive director and our Chair Loren have been registered, and with emphasis or the selection of transportation as the primary policy issue, along with air quality and economic development. And those are the ones that the teams asked you to select, a couple of priorities that I selected. Chair Loren, I'm not sure if you had others that you were also interested in, but that's, you know, you're at your, you know.
Those are mine too. Yep. Exactly.
So there's also an update in this report on the monthly the progress report on the three primary goals, desired outcomes for succession plan, and attachments or traditional attachments of June ridership and an updated long-range board meeting calendar subject to your board's modification. So with respect to that calendar update, or attachment, I should say, that's part of the, has been part of the director's report. I welcome board suggestions, updates, revisions, or clarifications prior to publishing the agenda in the packet. So, with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or to clarify any of the items in this director's report.
Does the board have questions? The chair recognizes Matt Dulcich.
Yeah, Jose, this is great. I'm just looking at the ridership data. And we see it every month because staff is always really prompt in getting us the data. We know year after year there's been sort of an ongoing downward trend. So I'm wondering if one of the upcoming months staff could summarize annual ridership and point us back to when the peak was and then show us those declines just so that we have some context about not just the last 3 years, but even going back 5 or 10 years, because I've lost track of, was our peak 10 years ago? Is that when we were carrying the most people, or was it more recent? Just trying to put more context around our ridership drop-off and a better understanding of kind of a goal of where we might get back to.
That's a fantastic suggestion, and I very much appreciate it. Director Dulcich, we will be retooling and revamping what it our performance reporting is for the board, not necessarily in the sense that we're going to give a 15-minute presentation each and every month, but the information presented to our board will be enhanced and made more robust. And I think we need to establish that baseline of historic data, mid-COVID, mid-pandemic data and impact to be able to best determine, you know, how successful we're being with our YOLO goal implementation. We're not making these changes to stay the same or to plateau the losses. We want to grow ridership. And so we need to know what are we aiming for? We know what the, like you said, what was the peak before? What was the max that we had at one time? That should be our new target, and we should strive to get to that point again. So I appreciate that comment, and we will provide that information for the next month.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do we have public comment on the director's report?
We do have requests for public comment. The first would be from Manuel Candela.
The chair recognizes Manuel Candela. You're muted, sir. There you are.
You know you can hear me now?
Yes.
I have a simple question for the last 14 months. Asking to the YOLO County and the company who serves the YOLO County transportation. For the last 14 months, there were two fundamental lines no working in Woodland, line 210 and line 214. Without those two lines in service, you can go to whatever place, but it's extremely difficult to go back to whatever place you've been in the beginning. I recur to the board today because for the last 14 months, I tried to have answers from the YOLO County Transportation District. I never have an answer. I have 3 appointments scheduled by the direction of the transportation system. 2 of the appointments, nobody show up. And my last appointment, it was scheduled the day before, what I understood perfectly well. And when I show up, the person who's supposed to have the appointment, because it was the person who scheduled the appointment, denied to show up being in his office. So I just went to the district attorney to see what we can do, because this is totally unacceptable. Actually, we did 2 years ago a big complaint because the YOLO bus stopped in front of the Yolo County Transportation District is blocking the handicap exit. We were told very honestly the next day they will transfer the stop about probably 12, 14 years. So that was perfect. But that's not complete. They don't complete that anymore, never. Very seldom. Basically, I have pictures for the last month, and the last, it was just today. And I complained there, and nobody wanted to do anything. My main complaint, to be honest, is for the directors, or director, or whatever, for the Yolo County Transportation District. They don't attend, and I will make a little comment about something Mr. Christian Masur, I think, said about he feel comfortable with attempt minor walking to change some lines, the 42 or 42A or B. Well, if this is the data they use to feel comfortable, they need to realize, and unfortunately need to ride the yellow bus for probably the last 4 years, those 10 minutes walking, the people that ride the yellow bus, probably 50% or 60%, it will increase probably to 40 minutes.
Mr. Candela, I appreciate your comment. I'm going to respect the fact that we have a two-minute limit on public comment, but what I'm going to ask is for staff to be able to contact you directly to also talk to you about the future microtransit in Woodland that will enhance you being able to be picked up at your residence or place of work, depending on your needs. So I would ask maybe Kristen or Jose to get your contact information and help you offline outside of our meeting. And I really appreciate that it's hard to make an evening meeting and to show up for public comment and have a whole lot of questions. So thank you so much. And let's get you the help that you need.
And we do have Mr. Candela's information, and Kristen will be reaching out to schedule that discussion.
Okay, thank you so very much. And were there any other public comments on the director's report?
Yes, Madam Chair, we do have two additional. The next would be from Mr. Todd Edelman.
Todd, I'm not sure I have your last. Oh, Edelman. Okay. Chair recognizes Mr. Edelman.
Hi. My name is Todd Edelman. I'm a resident of East Davis and a former member of the Bicycling, Transportation, and Sioux Safety Commission. This comment is about the I-80 corridor improvement project. This is something that, of course, has gone on for a long time and, of course, recently got tens of million dollars. I would suggest that people from the public especially watch the BTSSC meeting of July 8th, where the commission actually had some pretty good questions for the representative of Caltrans District 3 who described the project. But my concerns are, first of all, of course, Caltrans promised a new bike ped facility as the kind of the first step for years, and then pulled it out without contacting anybody from the cycling community at all. And now they just want to replace it with some "quote unquote" improvements on the west side. So that's a huge, major step backwards for climate and transportation goals for all of Davis and for all of the cities in Yolo County. Second, they still don't seem to know what they want to do. Is it going to be lanes for pay? Is it going to be transit? If it ends up expanding lanes for people to pay to go through, it's going to end up just inducing more private vehicle transport and, for people that want to pay. So that's a step backwards as well.
I appreciate we definitely need something. Maybe this money could have instead go to rail. We still are very unclear on what type of transit will serve the system. And we need a lot of work to do on this if we're really going to have it meet our city and county goals. Seems pretty clear. So I hope people don't kind of get drunk. Sorry if that's a little rude on this money and figure out something that's really going to work. Thanks very much.
Mr. Edelman, I really appreciate your comments. And I would just like to ask if you have given any contact information to perhaps our acting executive director, Perez, or Krista Mazur to share with Alex Padilla, our Caltrans representative.
Yeah, I will. I'll send a email to them.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Do we have any other public comment for tonight?
Yes, one more request, or a request from Alan Hirsch.
The chair recognizes Mr. Hirsch.
Thank you very much. The key crisis we face in this country is climate change. We're suffering from heat waves. That means global warming has to be number one. And I have, in all the discussions, the presentations I've heard from about this I-80 project, I've yet to hear that addressed, how that's going to be addressed, how this thing. Because too often we hear about freeway widenings and HOV lanes, and they turn out to be just adding capacity and more induced demand. If I heard Yola Bus and Solana Bus and other people talking about buses to fill that extra lane, I'd be more enthusiastic. But I don't hear that plan. I hear multimodalism. I don't hear about more buses and express buses and whatever to fill that lane. Two buses an hour does justify this expenditure. There are other ways of making the buses faster. We could just put a Q-jump lane to get onto the causeway versus widening green lane on the causeway. So I'm quite concerned, and I think many people who are concerned with climate are concerned that this lane will be just this additional lane will just induce demand and put us backwards in terms of climate change. I'm open to hear what's planned. I just haven't heard it. I haven't heard Caltrans talk about it frontally because this is the issue. So sell the YOLO, sell YOLO Mobility how this is going to be improved. Give us more mobility without increasing BMT because we know the state has to reduce BMT by 25%, not just get people into EV vehicles. And having a managed lane where people with Lexus that are computer-driven then can buy their way around congestion is not the solution. We should not and do anything to encourage the Tahoe lifestyle, which is immoral, just like fly at some level. This is a tough one for you guys. I appreciate that. Congestion is not congestion is not the solution. Thank you very much. And this is a tough one for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. I remember when you were just multimodal curious. So I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Any other public comments?
No additional new requests for public comment.
Well, I really appreciate your presentation on all the things that you're doing, Jose. And I think at this time, since we have covered our agenda, I would like to just remind the board that we will have closed session following our meeting, and it will be as a separate link. I would go ahead and close tonight's meeting, adjourning at 8:13, thanking all the staff and the board, and looking forward to meeting again next month, I believe on August 9th.
Well, wait a second. We're not quite done.
Oh, we're not done? Yes, we are.
No, we're not quite. You've missed the item on the secret agenda, the double secret agenda that has not been shared with you, but everybody else in the world knows about it.
Oh, no.
So, Jesse Lauren, thank you so much for a year of leadership, kindness, and dedication to the mission of the Yolo County Transportation District. Jose, do you have an artifact that you can display there on the screen? I don't know if you have the... Could you get rid of this ridership thing for just a minute?
Oh, yes. I apologize.
We can see. There we go. Now, Jose, would you say your name out loud? And everybody put this on speaker view for just a second.
Yes, this is Jose Perez being sharing my appreciation for Chair Loren and her year here as our chair, guiding us through this extremely challenging time, helping us with her leadership and her foresight. So I apologize, the screen is mirrored. I don't have the ability to kind of flip this over right now, but very enthusiastically appreciative of your hard work, Jesse, your mentorship, your guidance from all of the staff, from all of the directors.
So we are so pleased, Jesse, to be able to lecture your, to celebrate the conclusion of your year of service as board chair. And I know that, each of the members of the board may have something that they'd like to share. Director Stallard, would you like to make a comment?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you, Jesse. You're such a humble person, and you always suggest that you don't know what you're doing. You always do that, but your truth is you always know what you're doing, and you're very confident, you're very kind. And it isn't for no reason at all that the district has made the progress it has this year. You've been a key part of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Director Ledesma?
Well, she hasn't taught me how to use my unmute my button yet, so she's not quite done. No, Jesse, you've done a remarkable job. It was just a year ago, you took the reins, the baton from me in the middle of a pandemic, and you were unsure, but I had every ounce of faith in you, and you more than lived up to what I thought the leadership you provided. So. Just thank you for all you've done. You've been a remarkable leader for the district for the past year plus, and just appreciate all the work you did behind the scenes to make sure we all stayed on task. The many things we had to do for the past year, so thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Director Dulcich.
Thank you, Jesse. It has been great getting to learn from you in the last year. I think every meeting I've come away with a new way to ask a question or show kindness or ask for a new metric, and it's been really great. So thank you. And we know through this last year, you know, Winters has had many troubles with COVID and trying to recover, and I feel like the district is emerging not struggling but really on a springboard. So really poised for expansion here at the Olibus, and thanks to your leadership. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm.
Director Ferris.
Sure, let me join the chorus. Well, a couple of quick things. Firstly, I've been fortunate to serve on this board for almost 10 years now, and 9 out of those 10 years I served with Director Anderson from Winters, who was an excellent director from the city of Winters. But I am exceptionally grateful for your willingness to step up and serve on this board in the most challenging of circumstances, and frankly, to come in essentially in your first year, second year and a half as chair. So thank you for that. And I'm also so appreciative of our friendship and the ability to be able to serve with you in not only serving Yolo County Transportation District, but also Valley Clean Energy and a variety of the other boards that we serve on together. So thank you for your leadership and dedication to the work of this agency.
Thank you all. And I think we all know that as by virtue of our positions in local elected bodies, we serve on any number of other boards and commissions, and any one of them can be a passion for us. Any one of them can be something that drives us into the ground with the extra work and stuff we hadn't anticipated, and it is a true delight to be able to be colleagues with each of you on this board. And Jesse, to thank you for your leadership. You're not going away, and we're delighted for that. And we'll see everybody on August 9th. And now we can adjourn into closed session, recess into closed session for adjournment later. Hope, do you anticipate we'll be giving any reports out of closed session?
No, I do not anticipate a report out.
Do we need to say anything else about closed session before we recess?
No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I'm kind of speechless. Thank you.
Thank you.